graceful. He's impurely powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't keep him. Death couldn't have him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yay!
I was taking a trip on a plane the other day, just wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about. So I settled back in my seat, a bestseller, I said, a history, a mystery in one. Then I opened the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. Water healed the lame and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though we never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end
of the beginning. That's not a new book, that's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition made of tales, just to help the weak to survive. Let me read it again, I said, but listen closely, this is gonna change your life.
He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem.
Of the beginning, he said with a smile, what more could there be? He's dead. You said they hung him, put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said I'll read it again, but this time there's more, and I believe that this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you know he did all this for you?
He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth,
he was He rose. Amen. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're a guest with us, we'd love for you to fill out the welcome card that's right there in front of you. We are here to worship our Savior. Amen. Why don't you stand with us? Why don't you welcome somebody around you as we begin today? Amen. We trust Him in life and in death. He is our hope.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, yes, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand. What comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand.
Go sing. Came to the tomb, they were expecting to find that stone there, but it was rolled away. The disciples were locked up in a room, fearing for their lives. When the women came to them, they said, "He is risen." And two of them immediately took off, Peter and John. And John had to tell everybody that he was faster than Peter. Very competitive guy, that one. But no, they got the first just surprise of their life whenever they heard that Jesus had risen. And then he appeared to them, and Thomas was there. He saw those wounds, and he believed. He said, "My Lord and my God." Amen. And we have faith in that story and faith in a Savior who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, who knows our name. What a Savior. Amen. Let's sing that today. Low in the grave he lay. Let's sing together.
Low in the grave he lay.
That new life that we have in Christ, we're to give it back to him in worship and have our foundation, every decision we make, based on who Jesus is. So let's give him praise today.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Amen.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you.
Sing, holy,
holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show
ever sing.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. The only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Jesus, we live for you. Sing holy.
Holy, there is no one like you. There
Lord, we've gathered here together to worship you. Because you live, we can have life and life abundantly. Lord, let us build our life around who you are and what you've done. Sing this.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be
shaken. I will build my life.
I will build.
As we continue in worship today, the story of the gospel we carry with us each and every day. We pray for opportunities to share that with others. We pray today that if the Lord is stirring your heart, that you would say that Jesus is Lord of your life. We would love to speak to you about that. Because he lives, we can face what? Tomorrow. All fear is gone because we know the end of the story. We know who our Savior is. So let's sing that hymn today. God sent his Son. Let's sing it together.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love.
Amen.
Feel that forgive.
He bled and died.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we just give you our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength today. We just said that your blood never loses its power, that the blood of Jesus speaks for us today, that we have nothing that we bring to the table of grace. You give us your righteousness. Lord, we just thank you so much that we have the opportunity to worship together in spirit and in truth today. We say that you are Lord and you always will be. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Forgiveness is the fire. throne room before you I bow.
The veil is torn, the doors flee wide, I see glory as I run inside the throne room before
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
Amen. He is risen. Amen. What is a joy to be here this morning on Resurrection Sunday, a Sunday that I pray that we will celebrate continuously, that it would not just be today, but we would live our life in light of the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, would you open up to Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 12 today. As we begin, I want to just ask this question. Have you ever been told something that maybe you found a little bit unbelievable? If you have children in the room or if you have grandchildren, you may have heard some things from them that you're like, I don't know if that's really true. You may say things like, no way, or unbelievable. And what do you begin to do? But you begin to seek out to figure out if it's real. You begin to find out whether it's true or not. It's things that go past or stretch past the human mind of possibility. I thought over the last couple weeks, I said, you know, what are some things that I have found hard to be true? And one of those is on my bucket list to see, and that is what people call the Northern Lights. Has anybody in the room seen the Northern Lights? Wow. So maybe it's true. But I on TV. So I long to see the Northern Lights. Because think about this for just a moment. If you didn't have pictures and all you heard was somebody told you that when you go up north and in the middle of the night, you begin to see the dancing of green and purple and pinks across the sky, you begin to think, okay, that's a little bit out there. And because we have pictures today, it's easier for us to believe. But if you were just hearing that for the first time, it may be hard for you to believe. And to this day, I'm still trying to see those to prove that they're real. But can I tell you that we're here today to celebrate the greatest news ever told? We're here today to celebrate news that may seem to some people unbelievable, but yet it is true. At Christmas time, we celebrate the greatest birth announcement. All of a sudden, multitude of angels show up and speak about the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, who has stepped out of glory and has come to this earth. Emmanuel, God with us. Today, we don't celebrate the greatest birth announcement, but the greatest news ever told. And we see this in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Maybe you can pick up today on what that news is. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices, which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their face to the ground, the men said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all the things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But their words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and when he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Let's pray. Father, you are so good, and we just praise your holy Holy name. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for sending your Son that we may have life. And Father, we celebrate today that Christ is alive. He's alive. And because he lives, we can find salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. And so we thank you. Now, Lord, I pray today that the words will go forth, your words will go forth. Put me on the front row. Let me hear what you are speaking today, that I may place it into my life as well. Now, Father, we just love you and praise you, for it's in your holy name. Amen. So what is the greatest news that's ever been told? It's that Jesus Christ has risen. Jesus Christ has risen. They went to the tomb and they were saying, okay, we're going to go and prepare the body. And as they go, they said, whoa, there's going to be a stone there and it's going to be too big for us to move. And they begin to think about this. And as they get close and they get just to the horizon where they can see the tomb, they say, whoa, the stone has been rolled away. Why? What's happened? What's going on? And so they go up and they look inside and they can't find the body of Jesus. All of a sudden, the two angels speak the greatest news when they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, interesting enough, they weren't seeking the living. They were looking for the dead. But the angel was letting them know that the one that you think is dead is alive. And then he speaks the most powerful words right here. He says, he is risen. The greatest news ever told. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave. And so I want to look for just a moment at the response of the people to the greatest news ever shared. I just want to look at two of them today. First, the women who showed up there at the tomb. In Luke 24, verse 4, it says, while they were perplexed. They were perplexed. Then it says in Mark 16, verse 5, they were amazed. In Mark 16, 8, it says that astonishment and trembling came over them. In Matthew 28, verse 8, it says that they had fear and great joy. Think for just a moment what the women had gone through over the last 3 days. Or maybe even over the last week as they watched what we call Holy Week unfold. We read about it and we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. So when we read about Jesus being crucified, we already have in mind what's coming. But the women didn't, other than the fact that Jesus told them, though they struggled to believe it. Even the angel said, is this not what Jesus told you was going to happen? So here they are in Holy Week going, Jesus rides in triumphantly, and then all of a sudden he takes of the Passover, and then he goes to the garden and he is betrayed. Next thing they know, he is in custody of the Romans, and the crowd that just said, Hosanna in the highest, save us, is the same crowd that shouted out, crucify him. They watch as Jesus carries a cross, beaten, spat upon. His clothes were being gambled away. They nailed him to a cross. And then Jesus speaks these words, it is finished. And he breathed his last. Think about the grief, the pain, the hurt that they're walking through in this moment. They have watched Jesus die. I can't fathom what it was like trying to go to sleep when they went home. I can't fathom what Saturday was like. All their hopes and dreams and their care and love for Jesus and all of the emotions that they were running through. I can't imagine about Sunday morning as they woke up and said, hey, we're going to take these spices and we're going to head to the tomb. But I also can't imagine what it was like after that emotional roller coaster to see that the body was gone, to see that Jesus has risen from the dead, to hear the words from the angel. Yes, I know you've been mourning. Yes, I know it's been a difficult 2 days, but let me tell you, he's not here. He is risen from the dead. You know, many of you know that I enjoy sports. And one of the, I was just looking for different ideas and different things where in a sporting event that this emotional roller coaster took place to try to help you understand just on a small level of what they may have gone through. And I know that this doesn't do it justice, but the Lord brought me back to a game in 1982. I wasn't even alive. And it was Cal versus Stanford. And with just a few moments left, like just seconds left on the clock, Stanford had the lead. All they did was kick off. And Cal, once they tackled Cal, it was over. But Cal began to throw the ball laterally back in all these places. And they kept having these laterals. And there was a moment where everybody thought that the Cal team had gone down, that he had kneeled, that he had hit the ground. They thought the game was over. The Stanford fans were going crazy. And next thing you know, the band is on the field. And all of a sudden, he wasn't down. And here comes this running back, wide receiver, I don't know who it was, but he's running through the band to the end zone, and Cal wins. And they go from this roller coaster of Stanford thinking that they had won to all of a sudden they had lost. Cal went from thinking they had lost to realizing that they had won. The announcer said this. This is the most, and he's saying this live. This is the most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rendering, exciting, thrilling finish in football. Can you imagine the enemy, Satan, Friday night? He's dead. Can you imagine the demons in hell? He's dead Saturday. They thought that they had won, but Sunday morning was coming. And on Sunday morning, Jesus began to breathe. And listen, that stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out, because there's no stone that can keep the Son of God down. That stone was rolled away so that the women could come in and see that Jesus has risen from the dead. I believe that they had this same emotional roller coaster. Man, what happened? It's over. He's dead. What is going on? Maybe there's a glimmer of hope. He did say in 3 days. He did talk about his resurrection. He did talk about this a little bit. Maybe, just maybe, maybe there's a little hope. And then all of a sudden, they heard the news. Jesus is alive. And the enemy has been defeated. What about the disciples? In Luke 24, it said this in verse 11. I thought this was very interesting. But these words appeared to them as nonsense. It says they would not believe them. Mark 16, verse 11, it says that the disciples refused to believe the news. They were like, this can't be true. As I mentioned earlier, as we talked about, just whenever you hear things that just seem too good to be true, sometimes we'll say, no way, that's nonsense, that can't be true. But what did Peter do? Peter gets up in verse 12 of Luke 24 and he ran to the tomb. How many of you, when you hear something that seems so good to be true, you want to go and verify it? You want to go know and see if it is real? And Peter said, hey, this is like nonsense. This is hard to hear. I mean, this is confusing to me, but you know what? I'm going to look. I'm going to check it out. You know, I tell you about the Northern Lights because it really is my bucket list. I'm going to see them one day. I believe it. People say we saw them in Mobile, but that was through camera lenses. I want to see the Northern Lights one day. Well, we were flying up to Alaska for a mission opportunity over Christmas time. And we got word that the Northern Lights were going to be out. Now, we had flown all day, 10, 12 hours. We had multiple layovers. We were exhausted. And when we landed in Anchorage, they said, David, you've got to go north if you want to see them. And I said, I haven't slept in almost a day, 24 hours. I said, but we're getting in this car, and if you're going with me, we're going north. And we drove, and we drove, and we drove, and we drove, and we never saw them. People say they're real. I still haven't seen them. But why did we do that? Because we wanted to see that. Now, part of it's just because of the beauty of God's creation. You know, I love God's creation. That's the reason why I love going to the mountains. I even like going to the beach, believe it or not. But I love God's creation, and I wanted to see the majesty of God's creation. But another reason was this: I wanted to see it for my own eyes, right? What did Peter do? He ran to verify the news. He wanted to see it for himself. A little side note on that story to Alaska, we found out that those who went south saw it. There was a few of y'all from Luke that were with me that endured that evening of 4 hours of driving for trying to find them. But anyways, so the question then is this news true? Is it real? Did Jesus truly rise from the dead? Well, I want to give you a few reasons why the greatest news is true. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 through 8, Paul shares that when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples. But not only to the disciples, Paul says he appeared to over 500. And then Paul said, and the last of all, he appeared to me. So we have an eyewitness account by Paul and 500 plus that have seen the risen Lord before he ascended into heaven. Well, you may say, well, David, that was 2,000 years ago. How do we know that's true? Well, let me give you some other reasons why we know that Jesus truly rose from the dead. Because the disciples believed it wholeheartedly. And think about this for a moment. At this point, there's 11. And they went forth sharing about the risen Savior all over the world. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not going to go through persecution and even death for a lie. The last thing I'm going to want to do is say, hey, we've got to propagate this lie so well that we're going to just all lose our life through just brutal persecution and ultimately a martyr's death. I could see one person doing that. Maybe two. But 11, somebody would have folded. Somebody would have said, wait, hold up. This isn't worth it. Like, I'm going to get beaten and persecuted and even die for something that's not true. But no, the disciples continued forward after Pentecost. When they were filled by the Spirit, they went forth with power and shared the gospel, the truth of the resurrection to the world. But not only that, but we're celebrating the resurrection today. Think about that for a moment. It was the resurrection, the disciples believing it wholeheartedly, taking it to the ends of the earth, and people beginning to be transformed and changed and hearing that they began to take it to the ends of the earth. And that's the reason why we're here 2,000 years later, because of the resurrection. Church, the resurrection is still celebrated today over 2,000 years ago. The church is still alive today and growing. And the church's foundation is none other than Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. If Jesus would not have risen from the dead, our faith is worthless. And I'm going to tell you, worthless faith doesn't make it 2,000 years. If Christ did not rise from the dead, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if there is no resurrection, and not even Christ has been risen or raised, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching, what I'm doing right now, is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. He says, as he continues on, he says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Do we realize that worthless faith would not have lasted 2,000 years? But we have a risen Savior that over 500 saw before he ascended to heaven. that the disciples, wholeheartedly filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, went forth sharing about the risen Savior. That the church is here today and growing today because it's founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. But can I just tell you one other thing and why I know that the resurrection is true? Because it changed my life. It changed my life. Who I am today, I could never have been in my own power or strength. People will often say, hey, David, that was a good message. Or maybe everybody but Randy. No, I'm just kidding. But people will often say, you know, hey, that was a good message. Or they'll try to encourage. And I often say to them, I say, thank you for the encouragement. But if it is good, it's God. If it's bad, it's me. And I say that so often. Why? Because I recognize there is nothing good in me. The only thing that you see in me that is good is because of what God has done in and through me. I take no credit for it. It's all the Lord. As I abide and as believers abide in Christ, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our life. And so when you see somebody who has a transformed life, someone who serves God with all their heart, their soul, and their mind, they're only able to do that because of the risen Savior. I'll never forget what Brother Ed told me, and many of y'all have heard this. By the way, Brother Aaron, I wish Brother Ed could have just seen this morning. As I was sitting here, I was just thinking, Lord, I pray you let him just have a glimpse. But Brother Ed made this statement. He said, David, I know that I'm a born-again believer because I could never have lived the life that I lived in my own power and my own strength. We're here to see the greatest news and celebrate the greatest news today, the response of the people. We're here to see that the greatest news is true, but can I just tell you that the greatest news changes everything? It changes everything. The news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead changes everything. First and foremost, death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has been defeated through Christ and Christ alone. Not only is death defeated because of the resurrection, but we also can be reconciled to God. It says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Hear this out in verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. One commentary says it this way. If while we were enemies, we were restored to the favor of God by the death of his son, the fact that he lives will certainly secure our final salvation. See, Jesus came to deal with the greatest problem that we have. It's called lostness. Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of man. Sin enters this world, and because of sin, death was a wage of sin. It came about because of sin. Often I share with people whenever I'm meeting with the family when a loved one has passed, I'll say these words, and that is that death was not a part of God's beautiful creation in the garden. Death is an enemy to God's creation that came about because of sin. And Jesus conquers death when he rose again. And because of him conquering death, we can be reconciled to God. Because see, our sin and the wages of sin, which is death, separates us from holy God. And the only way that you can be reconciled to God, brought into right relationship with God, is by there being a perfect sacrifice. One who takes what you deserve. One who pays the debt that you owe. One who takes the wrath of God upon them so that you may have salvation. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says that Christ, who knew no sin, bore our sin on our behalf so that we may be the righteousness, or we may have, take on, place on the righteousness of Christ. The great exchange. We lay our sin on the cross, on Jesus, and Jesus lays on us his rightful standing before God. And it's only because of Christ's rightful standing before God that we have upon us that we can be reconciled, brought into right relationship with God. I share with people all the time that when we breathe our last and when we stand before the holiness of God, it's not going to be because of your church membership. It's not going to be because of your tithing record. It's not going to be because of your good works. It's not going to be because of your charitable things that you have done in life. It's only going to be if you have been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. For John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And how did he make that way? By dying on the cross in our place and conquering death, hell, and the grave on the third day when he rose again, that which we celebrate today. Not only is death conquered and defeated, not only are we reconciled because of the resurrection, but we are given new life. When you believe and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you submit to the Lordship of Christ, we are given new life. Look at what it says in Romans 6:4. "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Because Jesus rose from the dead, when you submit to the Lordship of Christ, he brings you to life spiritually. He gives you what the scripture talks about, a new life. The old, which is enslaved to sin, is laid aside. And the new, which walks in obedience to God and brings glory to his name and submits to the Lordship and allows the Holy Spirit to dwell within him. That is what we receive in this wonderful great exchange. But not only do we have new life because of the resurrection, but we have eternal life because of the resurrection. If you continue in Romans 6, it says this in verse 5. I just read verse 4. This is 5. It says, "For if we become united in him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self will be crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God." It says that if we have died with him, then we also will have a resurrection as he was resurrected. "Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Jesus speaks of this so clearly when he's talking to the ladies after Lazarus dies. And he says to them one of the great I am statements. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." What Jesus is saying here is because of his resurrection, that which is about to take place in this passage, it's going to happen very shortly. He says that those who believe in Christ, those who submit to his Lordship, it says in the scripture to be absent from the body, as in to die, to breathe their last. It says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. The scripture tells us so many times that those who are in Christ Jesus, those who believe in the resurrection, those who have submitted to his lordship, that this is not the end. When they breathe their last, they stand before the throne of holy God, and they can only stand because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is the hope and the joy that I get to share with families when their loved one passes. You say, David, you get to share joy? Yeah, we're mourning. Yes, there's grief, but there's great joy in knowing that their loved one is with Christ for all eternity. Not because of something that their loved one did, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and 3 days later, he walked outside of that tomb. The resurrection, it changes. The good news, the great news, the greatest news of all changes everything. Death has been conquered. We can be reconciled to God. God gives us new life. God gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. But you know, in that passage where Jesus says, I am the resurrection, he says something at the very end. And I want to close with this today. He says this in verse 26. He says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now, I don't want to assume that just because you came on a Resurrection Sunday service, a time of worship, that you believe this. Jesus asked the question, do you believe this? There's only one of two answers to that. Yes, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Or no, I don't. The choice is yours. But I'm here to tell you that if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, it does not change the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rising from the dead is not dependent upon your belief. The Word of God is not dependent upon your belief. Who Jesus is and what he did is not dependent on your belief. And a matter of fact, every person that breathes their last becomes a believer real quick. Even if they said on this earth that they do not know, they do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, when they breathe their last, they're going to be a believer. You say, how do you know that, David? Well, the scripture tells us in Philippians 2. It says, have the attitude which is in Christ. He humbled himself even to the point of death, death on the cross. And then it says this in verse 9. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Can I tell you that every means all? It means those who believe, and it means those who don't believe. Not only are their knees going to bow, but look at what else it says. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If Jesus died and he's still dead, why would God tell us that every tongue's going to confess one day that Jesus is Lord? I'm here to tell you, the choice is yours. But what choice you make does not change what happened. It also does not change the consequences that will be given to those who believe and those who don't believe. The scripture says that for those who believe, they will hear, come in my good and faithful servant. And those who do not, he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I pray today that if you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I pray that you would see that everything that's been offered through the resurrection, he offers to you today. Reconciliation with God. A new life. Eternal life. No longer fearing death, for death has been defeated. But you must surrender your life to his lordship. But you know, there's another side to this coin. Many of you in this room today are saying, David, I believe. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe and I have submitted to the Lordship of Christ. I've given my life to Christ. I want to challenge you today to wake up every day in light of the fact that Jesus died for you. He was buried and on the third day he rose again. I want to challenge you to do that which the disciples did and the women, that when they were overwhelmed by what God has done, that Jesus has risen, they went and told people. The women ran back to tell the disciples. The disciples began to tell the world. And those who heard it from the disciples went on sharing with others. But you know what we have to be careful about? Is just living traditionally sometimes. Allowing the things of this world to bring us to complacency. You know, I shared with you at the very beginning that one thing I really want to see is the Northern Lights. Honestly, I believe they exist because there's pictures. But I still want to see them. But can I tell you that there are people that I know who have seen them so many times that when they hear the Northern Lights are coming out, they just sleep through it. They're like, man, I've seen it. I've seen it enough. It's amazing. It's really cool, but I've seen it. Church, if we're not careful, we will do the exact same thing with the news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. If we're not careful, we'll go week in and week out, as we say in our society today, Easter to Easter. We'll go from this day to that day, we'll just live our life and we'll miss living in awe and wonder of what it was like that day when they heard, he is not here. He is risen. He's alive. And church, when we lose that just awe and wonder, we just begin just to walk through life. We need to ask the Lord to renew in our heart. This past week, my prayer has constantly been in my life, Father, let it be as if the first time I heard that Jesus rose from the dead. Let my heart be overwhelmed by what you have done. Father, may I not lose sight any day of the glory of God that you gave us Christ and that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He rose again. He's victorious and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf. Father, may I not lose focus. And even in not losing focus, some of our sister churches had Sunday night or Saturday night resurrection services. I went because I want it to continue to be overwhelmed. I wanted to be continually overwhelmed and sit just like where you are today, just thinking and dwelling on what God has done. And so I pray today, everyone is given a choice. Do you believe or not? And if you say, David, I don't, I pray today would be the day of salvation, that your eyes would be open to the truth. And if you say, I do, I pray that you would live every day in light of the risen Savior. As the angel said, he's not here. He is risen from the dead.